Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Is it possible to have a pure and sincere mind and to have a bad memory? Not rhetorical.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. You might think that this is going to be a story about me because it's such an easy picking to do with my memory. But I found another story. Pastor Roland has AOL as his desktop, you know, his home screen. And these stories pop up. And I find myself sometimes just leaning over and look at these things. And they go too fast to kind of catch it. But one caught my eye. And it was about a bride who had the most glorious wedding, the dream wedding of her life. And she had this this wonderful wedding, the reception and the wedding night. She had a heart attack. And the husband, this newlywed husband, is, say goodbye. All right, there we go. Bye-bye. Whoever's leaving. He is so good about saying goodbye to people. I love that. Anyway, he is doing CPR on his bride until the paramedics come, and they get her to the hospital, and she survives. She survives this traumatic event on her wedding day that she now does not remember. Nothing. Zilch. Nada. And can you imagine having all these pictures and not remembering anything about being there, like almost like an out-of-body, out-of-mind experience? And so after she fully recovered several months later, they brought all the family and all the friends and the paramedics and the hospital staff together and reenacted the wedding. You see, for Christians, it doesn't take a heart attack to forget. For us, there are so many things around us that are distracting us, that's grabbing for our attention. And there's mass media, there's social media, there's multimedia, all impacting us time and time and time again. All with probably the design to take our eyes off from God and put our eyes on self. And today, Peter goes into a dissertation about the Christian hope, the Lord's return, that we must always keep in mind and remember. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this time and this day. Thank you for those that braved the weather to gather together, your church, under your care, for your worship to glorify you and your teaching to inspire and encourage us. And Lord, as we look in your word, may you cause it to come alive, seeing that it's not just words from 2,000 years ago, but words for today, for our lives in this time, in this generation, as we look forward to the glorious hope. Remind us in this day, and we thank you for it, in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter, the third chapter. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, there's chair Bibles, thank you, Bill, around in front of you, and you can turn to page number 184 in the back part of the book. This is interesting because my Bible is numbered all the way through, and I'm at page 1903. That's giant print, by the way. So yours probably has much, much less than that. But they number the New Testament, then they number Old Testament, then New Testament. But we're into the final stretch now of Peter's letter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says this: "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.' For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and by water through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Few people like to wait. I am always very pleasantly surprised when I go to the chiropractor's office and there's no one there. I love to just get right into that rolling table that just rearranges your spine, and then to get my adjustment done. I have a hard time waiting. I'm not a patient person, and I will tell you that because it's true. Just ask my brother or my mother or my wife, my son. In fact, anyone who knows me knows I'm not a very patient person. But there's some things we have to be patient for. And the patience that we are to have is looking forward to the time of Christ's return. We cannot live lives that exclude that fact. We have to live with anticipation that it could come at any time. He could come at any time. And Peter talks about this. Peter's wrapping up his letter, and he wants to share what's not necessarily new information, but it is important information, important enough that we don't want to miss it. The truth of Christ's return is important that believers remember it. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostle. Peter refers to his readers as beloved. He does this 4 times in this chapter alone, verse 1, verse 8, 14, and 17. It's an expression of endearment. Although he calls this his second letter, it's not fully clear that 1 Peter is the previous letter that he is referring to, because that was not necessarily a reminder letter. But he did write a previous one, but this is the important one. And the important point is the church needs to be aroused regularly, or the enemy might find us asleep or distracted and take advantage of our spiritually lethargic lives. We can all get that way. I constantly am think in my head, I can be doing this more, or this more, or this more. The fact is, this week was a very interesting week. My mother turned 83. It was great to celebrate her birthday on a lunch with my brother. I had to miss a dinner last night because by 4 o'clock, I hadn't written one word yet of today's message. It's just the way my wife went to the hospital Wednesday night. That wasn't planned. ER visit, you know, making trips to the hospital, trips to the church. It was just a very rough week. And I have to keep in mind, God, there's a reason for this. I don't know what it is, but you do give me strength to move through this. I love the fact that God's word speaks words of endearment to us. That he takes that refocusing of faith. Remember I told you when James was a little toddler, and I would say to him, now listen to me. Listen to me. I take my gigantic hands and his little face, and I take his little cherub face. Okay, hear me, because I want him to understand. And one day when I was distracted, and James came up to me, put his little pudgy hands in my face, goes, Daddy, listen to me. Listen to me. The Bible is full of listen to me moments. Remember this, because this is important. Peter's purpose is to stir up the sincere mind by way of reminder. Could also be translated to refresh your memory. These are things that you know. You know, it's there's a phrase, you know, preaching to the choir. That's okay, because we need to be reminded. Sometimes I need to be reminded that God loves me, because sometimes the enemy wants me to think so lowly of myself that it's hard to get up. It's hard to lift my head. Reminders are a good thing. The English word sincere is from two Latin words, sincere, meaning without wax. It's a very interesting story, because in that time in the world, when the artisans would make pottery, they had to be sincere. They had to be without wax. And if they were found that way, they had that stamp. Because what if in the firing of the pottery and they found cracks, they would put wax in them to seal them up and paint over them. And so these people at this time, they would take this pottery and they would hold it to the sun. And the sun would reveal the cracks. They are a sun judge, is what the literal term could mean for sincere. They're sun judge to see the cracks. You see, we also need to be sun judge, S-O-N, to find the cracks in our lives, to make sure that we're not just covering over sin, but we're dealing with it. How do we deal with it? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Get rid of it. Don't hold on to the baggage. Let it go. Be sincere. And he's speaking to sincere people that have the heart and desire to follow Christ, because they would sometimes stray, or these false teachers were rising up. We talked about in chapter 2. He wants to encourage them to make sure that you're aware. They are to remember the words of the holy prophets who spoke about the day of the Lord and the related topics that are coming up. The commandment of the Lord and Savior, referring to Jesus, spoken by the apostles, links them to the prophets and makes it a seamless story from Old Testament all the way through to New Testament to the end of time. It's one story. And we have to, as believers, we may be the New Testament church, but we have to understand the Old, because it's important. Why? Because it told us about Jesus. It gave us several hundred prophecies about Jesus that were all fulfilled in one man, yet there are some yet to be fulfilled. We look at the Old to understand today, to look to the future and see it all come together as one seamless event. This also solidifies Peter's admonishment for the readers not to listen to false teachers, but to the true word of God, from God. You know, when you use God's word to help people, to correct them, to, you know, it's God speaking, not us speaking. We have no right to judge, but we have an obligation to point out what God has said. We had a great discussion and meet yesterday, had a good group of guys. It was a great morning. Man, hour and a half may not be long enough, but it was a great time of fellowship, of a great buffet of food, you know, good prayer time and a good discussion. And it was discussed, Jake had talked about this, you know, we have to have more, thus saith the Lord. We have to have more moments of God. God says this. We have no right to say it, but we have a right to share it, what he says, because it's truth, God's truth. But I do know, before you ever go to somebody and say, thus saith the Lord, make sure you do it in a deep voice too. Thus saith God. You have to make sure that you're in prayer first, because you better be humble in going into it. Because God is not giving you that ability to just go, you know, there's a phrase, speak truth and love, the Bible says, right? Because love without truth, without love is brutal. But love without truth, we can just, man, there'd be bodies all over the place. I'm just doing truth and love. Boom, 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 boom. Need to remember these things. It's important for believers to understand from both the Old and the New Testament, especially the book of Daniel, which Bill and we talked about recently. I'm looking forward. I'm chomping at the bit to teach you the book of Revelation. And in that, Daniel has to be taught, because it relates directly to that. And we think, wow, Daniel, that's a lot of chapters. Oh, don't even get me on Isaiah, you know. But we have to understand this, because it's important, and it's there for our knowledge and our ability to read. However true God's word may be, the scoffers laughed at it. They just laughed at it. They diminished it, they denied it, and they wanted to whittle it down. Why? So people would follow them. This is the way to be. because they were the ear ticklers of the time. They were trying to feed them into what they want to hear so they can live this life that they want to live apart from God and still claim to be Christian. It is not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy at all. It takes a constant effort because our enemy is there on us trying to lure us away. Remember that the word lure is with bait? It's a picture that we need to understand that all things around us are to lure us away from the focus of God. Verse 3, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the coming of his promise? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Peter understood that he and his readers were in the last days. It refers to the time of the first and second coming of Christ, which is why we are in the last days as well. Christ already came. We celebrate Advent every Christmas, right? For the 4 weeks, the fifth week, and then the candle, the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. The second Advent is when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in this middle time, we're in the last days. And it has a period of time. It has a line drop in it and an exclamation point. We don't know when that is. But God does. The Father does. Hasn't even revealed it to the Son. But all heaven in anticipation waits for that day. People, so should we, because it's going to be amazing, terrifying to the world. I mean, we can make movies about it, Left Behind, all this stuff, but it pales in comparison, I'm sure, to the reality that is. Know this first of all, he says, is setting up what Peter wants them to know. What he wants to tell them is of great importance. Like when Jesus said, truly, truly, means listen, listen. This is important. This is important. You know, the news flash. First importance, that scoffers who mock, they're false teachers who teach that there is no second coming. I have met people of the Baha'i faith said, well, Christ already came back in the 1920s. Really? I didn't know that. There are people out there to deceive you who think that these things, it helps diminish. If Christ has come back, then all the things written in the book of Revelation are false because it's not laying out like it was. Because when he comes back of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and takes care of business, begins the millennium, his thousand-year reign of his kingdom on earth, end of the thousand years, the great white throne judgment, boom, sin gone, evil people gone. Well, we're going to get into that in a second. It's an amazing picture, but you can't say it's already happened because it doesn't happen the way we think it should, but the way God tells us it is. Even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that these heretics are going to surface among us and try to take us away to make matters worse or maybe make them more identifiable. Their own indulgence into lust reveals their intent. Their intent is to bring glory to themselves and to do whatever they want to do and to never have to answer. We talked about Jimmy Swaggart, his first fall with many, many tears that he had. The second time he fell, he said, God told me it's none of your business. Okay, let's just put this then aside. You know, it is our business. It is our business to guard our hearts, our minds, and souls for God's purposes. Because the enemy wants to get in to wedge as much as he can. Their mocking took the form of a question. Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. They reject the promise of Christ's return and base their stance on the principle of uniformitarianism. I had that down. I practiced that word. It was a dollar. It cost me a dollar, too, by the way. This is one of those dollar words. Uniformitarianism. Thank you. As we close in prayer. This is the view that cosmic processes of the present and the future can only be understood solely on the basis of how the cosmos has operated in the past. You know what that means? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything. Because were we there in the past? No. Are we sure it's going to continue on in the future? No. But they want to believe that. We don't have to believe in a supreme being because it's been the same forever. And a universe governed by natural laws, miracles, mockers argue, simply cannot happen. Therefore, they say Jesus cannot come again, because it's never happened before. Well, he's also the first one that rose from the dead, probably one of the best not documented facts of history. But let's just forget that for now. Scoffers want to push their argument back as far as possible, so they take it back, way back to the beginning of creation. And since nothing has changed since that time, why expect the Lord's return now? Verse 5. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Peter met those arguments head on with a little lesson in history. The heavens, or the expanse of the sky, was created on the second day. That's different. Land appeared from water by God's command on the third day. God the Creator is also God the Judge. And he used water to judge the world, meaning the inhabitants of the world, and destroyed the human race, save for 8 people. That's different. That's not the same as it always has been. And those events you cannot excuse. Scoffers deliberately forget God's creation and the flood, and then say that God's doing nothing. Whereas Peter is telling them to remember, us to remember. And so much in the New Testament, where it says, if you hear wars and rumors of wars, don't get excited. Don't get excited, because things like that's going to happen. Don't get worried at hurricanes and floods and tsunamis. That's going to happen. These things are different. We're seeing things in our time. You know, let's talk about global warming, shall we? This is probably one of the worst winters, and maybe it's a part of that. I don't know. But to me, it's just Michigan. I would love a more global warming. Let's have Florida's climate. I was talking to the PECs last week. They're so great about calling and telling what the weather report is down in Florida. And they said, today it was 80. I said, it was 80 here today as well. Oh, I'm sorry, I added another 0. It was 8. We have to be careful and remember that God is still in control. And even though he wants us to have a long Christmas, it's okay. Peter then explains that there is a future destruction. What did God say at the end of the flood? I will never do this again. And what was the promise that he gave them? The rainbow. To signify that he would never destroy the earth in that way again. And he won't. He's going to choose fire. And it's going to be the biggest fireworks we will have ever seen in our lives. Earth and all the heavens are being guarded. They're being reserved. They're being kept for a purpose. People worry about an atomic, you know, explosion and nations destroying nations. I believe that God will not let that happen. Is the potential there? Absolutely. Are there some whacked out people that are leaders in certain countries? Absolutely. But I believe God is still in control. And God has reserved the earth and the heavens for destruction at his time, when he chooses. Can there be a lot of destruction on the earth? Yes, we know that. We know that hundreds, thousands, millions can die. But the ultimate destruction will make all that pale in comparison. And then at that point, he will cause sin and evil to go away forever. And then the new creation. What the Bible teaches here is not made up of the apostles. It was taught by the prophets and by Jesus himself, if you read through it. I'm going to talk about 3 days so that you might understand a little more. There's the day of Christ. It relates to the second coming of Christ, or the coming of Christ for his church. Some refer to it as the rapture, talked about in 1 Corinthians 1 and Philippians 1 as well. There's the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord includes the tribulation, the millennium, the great white throne judgment where sin is dealt with, the return of Christ to the earth. It is a powerful day. When Christ comes to establish his kingdom on earth, it's radical. Christians who are alive at that time are translated into that day and continue on. I believe that those who have died in Christ will come back. But that's a whole Revelation teaching, and it's a fascinating, important study to have. And there's the day of God, which Peter talks about in 2 Peter 3:12. That is that period of time where believers then enjoy the new heavens and the new earth after all the evil has been judged, and that time is forever. The day of God continues forever. You see, we have a beginning. Every single one of us have a beginning, but we have no end. Every single human being, every conceived being, meaning that those that have died in pregnancy or never made it to a full pregnancy, they're still alive. They're with the Father now. And parents will know those children when the time comes. But we all live eternally. Just whether or not do we live with God or apart from God, cast out forever. That's a very real choice that we make. Where God used water to judge the world at the great flood and promised he wouldn't do again, he uses fire. And it's almost as a picture, if we as believers, after he's had after the great white throne judgment, is if we're standing in the spans of heaven and watching this incredible wiping away of what was, that has been groaning since creation, and seeing a new heaven and a new earth. If you've ever read about the new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem, it talks about being 1,500 miles long and high and wide. It's like Star Trek took that and made the Borg, you know, because that's really what the image that they're giving. It's a square. Gene Roddenberry is so clever. As far as like from here to Omaha, and then take that south, and then take it north, and you've got the New Jerusalem. I don't think we can comprehend it. Certainly not the Borg, because I don't. That anyway, it's fun for TV, but not for faith. And God's righteousness will reign there forever. Prophetic scholars seem to fall into three categories: that the church will be raptured pre-tribulation, at the time that we do not know, that Christ will come like a thief and we'll meet him in the air, as talked about in the book of Thessalonians. There's mid-tribulation, in the middle of tribulation. The tribulation is a seven-year period. So after 3.5 years, then the church is raptured. There's the post-tribulation, that at the end of the 7 years, we meet Christ in the air, then come back to earth, where he comes to reign for 1,000 years. Every single one of those views takes scripture to back it up and to support it. I do not believe this should ever be a test of fellowship. I don't ever believe this should be a test of whether or not I'm going to associate with you. It's not important. The important fact is he's coming. Personally, I believe in the pre-trib, because I believe that the church is taken out and doesn't experience that. We can talk about that some other time over lunch if you're buying. There are people in all the camps. But we have to, thank you. Aaron, where's the, I tell you. I had one small cup of coffee today. Didn't have my wife's coffee because she's still recovering in bed, and the evidence is there. I think that we need to understand what's going to happen. You know, there's a pastor friend of mine in Reno who said, maybe God has it all set up by the perception of what you think. The pre-tribs will go pre-trib, the mid-tribs will go mid-trib, and the post go that way there. You know, I guess we're going to know when we know. And we're going to know when the tribulation period begins. But really, we can laugh at it now, but it's going to be a very intense time for the last 3.5 years. Our responsibility is to know. I've always told people that if you believe, you know, there's some that don't even believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I don't understand that because it's in the Bible, but that's not a test of fellowship either. But I tell people, when you write in your Bible, because it's not holy, it's okay. You can make notes, highlight. I use color. Crayola crayons are very good for that, for highlighting parts of passages. The yellow, the orange. Don't use the black, because that makes it really, really hard to see. But it's important to write good, clear notes in your Bibles, because they stay behind when the church is gone. Believers will be converted in that time of tribulation. You know, in fact, they live in difficult times. But they'll see glorious days thereafter. I want to wrap up. I'm going to stop at this point because it's going to be, I don't want to whip through this. It's too important for us to understand and remember. But I want to I want to say this, because God's word is true, we must pay close attention to it and take its teachings seriously. We have a great time as a staff, as a body here. We don't take ourselves seriously, but we do take God's word seriously. We may joke amongst ourselves, but we take this as life and death. And it's so important that people see life out of us to reach out to other people. We can avoid many, many pitfalls if we just understand what it is and stick to it, whether we feel like it or not. The Bible, I'm going to encourage you, the Bible never calls us to feel. The Bible calls us, commands us to know. God always engages our mind. Know who you are in Christ. Know where your place is. Know where your place in eternity is. Know these things. And when you don't feel like doing something, God calls, do it anyway. A lot of times people don't feel like going to church. Really hard if you're the pastor. They kind of expect you to be there, you know. But I tell you, sometimes, like last night, I'm going, God, I was working on my computer crashed. I can't get to my hard drive. I have my hard drive out into an external enclosure, which I didn't know what that was a week ago. Plugged it into another computer, and it says, you need permission to get to these things. I give you permission. Do it. Go. Well, that didn't work. Dumping it didn't work. I'm finally now, I picked up an old Dell on an auction. I'm on this thing, and it has a very nervous mouse. You know, these, whatever kind of mouse, or the mouse pads, and you move around, and it's going. And I'm trying to highlight and color and stuff. 1 o'clock in the morning, I finally get done. I go, done. That's it. But I'm here. Oh, Roland, I can't make it today. Good job. Now, he's in Clifford giving the message up there, so. But when we don't feel like it, that's when we need to do it, because that is when God's going to really work and you'd be really blessed. Don't feel like talking to that person. Maybe just share a word, you know. Elevator time, you got five floors. Just an encouraging word. It does so much to engage you with God's purposes. New converts, must be taught the word and established in doctrines of faith, because new converts are the targets of the apostates. They are the targets of the false teachers. Why? Because they don't know anything. And they're easy, but you know, really, God, does really God want you not to be happy? Does he not want you to be rich? Does he not want you to have that new Escalade? God loves you. He wants you to have that. Read the word. Bob Drake yesterday shared with us again the Beatitudes. Man, read those once a week, once a day, to be reminded of how blessed we are, no matter what level of life that we are in. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Be peacemakers out there. I always love the fact that when James was graduating from high school, we got invited to this ward banquet. Now, I love my son. He's brilliant. He's talented. I'm thinking, why are we here? These, like, the science awards and the math awards and these awards. And James got the peacemaker. Award. Voted by his peers. I couldn't be more proud. That was 9 years ago, and I'm still emotional. Drugs can't take that out of me, can they? Legal ones, by the way, I was just for those that may not understand. This is one of the reasons that we observe the communion table each and every week. That we take something of life that we've seen. Great job, Kevin, today. And we lay it to the table because we're called to remember. And as we do, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that's the promise that he will come again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace, for your wisdom, for your encouragement, for your many, many blessings, blessings too many to count. We are so undeserving, but that's why you give us your unmerited favor. You give us grace. And Father, may we never take that for granted, and may we never take it lightly. And may we always be willing to dispense it out to others because you gave it to us. Not to hold on, but to be grace to others that they might know you. Help us to remember to live our lives this week in such a way that they seek Christ. Not self-righteousness, but the righteousness that comes from relationship with Jesus. A righteousness that is not put on, faked, or worked up, but in humility, a righteousness that comes from you. And in doing so, Father, may you work in our lives to grow your kingdom and to be a blessing to you. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.